Let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 16. Now, in this first half of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we have a number of biblical directives concerning marriage, concerning both the responsibilities of marriage and the regulations of marriage. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Now, concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment, for I wish that all men were even as I myself. But each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Let's begin our study of this portion of 1 Corinthians 7 with some background notes. In chapters 1 through 6 of the Epistle of 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote about certain problems in the church at Corinth that had been reported to him. Now here in chapter 7, he begins to answer questions that the Corinthians themselves had raised in a letter that they had written to the Apostle Paul. Some of the important questions that they had asked about had to do with sex and marriage. Now, Paul had already covered the question of sex outside of marriage in chapter 6. In no uncertain terms, Paul had stated that sex outside of marriage was immoral and sinful. Let's read those verses again. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 16. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 through 20. So sex outside of marriage is clearly immoral and sinful. But what about sex within the bounds of marriage? Are you more holy if you have less sex? Maybe it's better not even to get married. Well, those questions and other questions about sex and marriage raised by the Corinthians are answered here in this chapter. Not only for the Corinthians, but for us as well. And that brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for this first half of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So doctrinal or teaching point number one, marriage as God intended it has its responsibilities. Marriage, as God intended it, has its responsibilities. When the Apostle Paul wrote in verse 1, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, he meant that it's okay and even commendable to stay single and celibate as he was, as we learn in verse 8. Look at verse 8 once again. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. That is, single, unmarried. However, celibacy is not for everyone. If God did not give you the gift of celibacy, then it's good and right and proper to get married, because it's better to marry than to burn in lust, verse 9. And sex within the bounds of marriage is not immoral, verse 2. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. In fact, not to have sex in a marriage relationship is sinful. Verse 5, do not deprive one another. That is, deprive one another of sex. Now, a husband and a wife may agree not to have sex for a while because of a special time of devotion to prayer. Verse 5, but it should only be by agreement together, and it should only be temporary. This is not a command, but common sense, as we see there in verse 6. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment. Now, in the limited marriage counseling that I've done, I've found that when there are problems in the area of sex, generally speaking, it's because there's been a breakdown in communication. Couples need to keep the communication channels open and talk it out and come to agreement in the area of sex. Marriage, as God intended it, has its responsibilities. Doctrinal point number 2. Marriage, as God intended it, has its regulations. Marriage, as God intended it, has its regulations. Verses 10 through 16. Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? In verses 10 and 11, we have the case of an unhappy marriage. What is the biblical solution? Easy divorce? No. No divorce, as we see in verse 10. But now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. Well, what about separation? Separation is not desirable, but it is permissible if it's an unbearable situation. And that can happen. But such a separation is to be with the idea of future reconciliation, not divorce. The separation is ideally only temporary while the problems are being worked out. Now, in verses 12 through 16, we have the case of a mixed marriage, that is, of a Christian and a non-Christian. Let's read those verses again. But to the rest I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? When the husband or wife gets saved, should they divorce or separate from the unbelieving spouse? No, absolutely not. In many cases, it's only a matter of time before the unbelieving husband or wife also becomes a Christian. You know, we have examples of this scenario right here in this Bible study fellowship. By the way, this exhortation for the believing spouse not to leave a mixed marriage is not the Bible condoning in any way the idea of a Christian going out and marrying an unbeliever. No, the Bible is very clear on that point. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the context concerns when one spouse in a marriage becomes a Christian, but the other spouse is still unsaved. We see in verse 14, that God sees these households as sanctified. That is, not saved, but set apart and special because of the Christian influence in the home. But what about the case where the unbelieving husband or wife just can't take this Christian influence and he or she wants to leave? What's the answer here? Let them leave. Verse 15. Don't force them to leave. Don't hound them with the gospel because you want them to leave. But if they do leave, let them leave. Verse 15. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. Now, what does this phrase mean, not under bondage? Does that mean the saved husband or wife is free to remarry? Or does it just mean that the saved husband or wife should not try to stop the divorce that the unbelieving spouse has initiated? Not all Christians are agreed on this point. Now, my own view is that if the unbeliever leaves for another relationship and a new marriage, which is the way it is 99% of the time, then the believer is free to remarry in the Lord, because the first marriage is over and cannot be reconciled. If, however, a new marriage has not taken place, and thus there is always the chance for salvation and reconciliation, then I would counsel the believer to wait on the Lord, hard as that may be in many cases. These are tough issues, to be sure, but marriage, as God intended it, does have regulations. Now, what about practical application from this first half of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Remember, you don't have to get married. Remember, you don't have to get married. When Paul said in verse 12, "But to the rest I say, not the Lord," he does not mean that what he's about to say is not inspired or does not have God's authority. No. All he means is that while the Lord Jesus did say some things about marriage in the Gospels, he did not speak about mixed marriages. The Lord did, however, emphasize what Paul says here about celibacy. I'm reading Matthew chapter 19, verses 10 through 12. His disciples said to him, "If such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry." Then Jesus said to them, "All cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it." Matthew chapter 19, verses 10 through 12. In other words, it's okay not to be married. In fact, if you can handle it, celibacy is good, because in general, you can be more efficient and dedicated in serving the Lord because you are free from family responsibilities. However, it's not the norm. But God does call some folks to be single for His glory. Remember, you don't have to be married.